Tamura Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph 3:1, starting the third perek now, and the topic of this perek and into the next perek is, once you make a tamura, and you have this, you know, carbon copy B animal, which has the same kedusha as the original animal A, so what actually technically do you do with it? And there's going to be a range of different things you have to do depending on what kind of carbon we're talking about. So we're actually going to go through essentially all of the zvachim. We'll talk about shlamim, for example, which essentially the tamura is treated the exact same way as the parent. And we'll get onto things like the toda, which is mostly like it. And then we'll talk about things like the asham. And in the next parak, even the chatas, where it's not it can't be offered at all for whatever reason. So there's a range of what to do. One important thing is that this mission will also bring in a second issue of other kinds of animals, which are also kind of carbon copies of a previous animal in terms of their kedusha and their status. And that's a vlad, offspring. In other words, just the same way the tamura animal B gets its same halachic status basically as the original A, so too the vlad, the offspring, the birth of parent of mother A, it's really of the mother, its offspring B has the same status as the mother basically. Now, a couple of just points of clarification before we begin. The simple way to understand the cases of vlados, of offspring, are we're talking about a parent that was consecrated, let's say, as a shlamim, and then at some later point, she became pregnant with this fetus and then gave birth to the fetus, okay? So then we're going to say that the fetus derives its status from its mother, and that's straightforward enough. I'll come back to that in a moment. If the parent mother were already pregnant when it gets consecrated, so there we have a machlokus. It's actually machlokus amorayim. If we say that the fetus is like any other, like a yerech, like a limb of the mother, in which case, indeed, it's going to just derive its status from the mother and it becomes kind of carbon copy sort of thing. Or if it's not like a yerech, not like a limb, it's like its own separate goof, its own separate creature. So if there's an animal already growing inside the parent mother, when one consecrates that animal, the mother, he's actually doing kind of two consecrations, consecrating both the mother and its offspring at the same time. But that means that the sanctity, according to this approach, of the fetus in utero is not a derivative of the mother. It's like primary. It's the person consecrated those animals, like two at the same time, if you will. Okay, that's a machlokas amarayim. I'm not getting to that anymore right now, but we'll just sidestep that issue by assuming the cases are simple, where the animal, the parent animal, the mother, became pregnant after it was consecrated as a korban, or after it became a tamura. As far as the mother, which was already pregnant when it was consecrated, so there's a separate machlokas tanaim, which we'll actually see half of that machlokas explicitly in the next parak, actually two parakim for now, I should say, and the issue there is, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the status of the offspring that, you know, the mother conceives and gives birth to only gets its mother status when it's actually born. But while it's in utero, it has no status yet. It's waiting. Okay? Which means in theory, you could have, you could consecrate the mother as a shlamim. And then later on, when you find it's pregnant, you'd say, oh, I want the fetus in utero to be an ola. And that could work. According to the Chachamim and the Halacha, that's not the case. When the animal is pregnant, when it gets pregnant, automatically as the animal grows, the fetus grows inside the mother, it already becomes, you know, gets the status, the derivative status of the mother from the get-go. Okay, that's just a bit of background. We'll see more of that as the parak continues in the next parak and the next parak after that as well. So now here, we're going to start going through the different kinds of karbonos here, starting with the shlamim. Says the Mishnah, Elu kachim shevadosein utmurosein kayotzben. The following is the list of the zvachim, of the karbonos, where the tamura has the same status as the mother, meaning you can even offer on the Mizbeach like the mother, as opposed to that's the first half of this parak, certain karbanos, like the shlamim and the toda, whereas the second part of this parak and the next parak will say other animals like the asham and the chatas, although the parent is offered, the child, the offspring is not. Okay, so here we're going to talk about the shlamim, but again, the Mishnah said, Elu kachim shevladoseya, not only you're talking about the tamura, but also the offspring, are kiyotzebehen, meaning that both the offspring and the tamura both are kind of carbon copies of the parent. Therefore, just as the mother's brought as a shlamim, so too will the offspring being brought as a shlamim. First, we have Vlad Shlamim Utmurasan. Whether you have your A animal, your starting point is you have a regular, let's say, female cow, and the female cow is a Shlamim. If you then do a Tamura with a cow to make a B animal, which is a Tamura for the A, or Vlad, if the animal A now gives birth to a B animal, both those cases, they'll be like the mother. But not only that, but also, Tumurasan uvladan uvlad vladan at sofa olam. Not only are the substitutes going to be like the original, but also the offspring will be like the original, and the Tamura's offspring will also be like the original. Okay, so essentially, you kind of get kind of, if you have a picture of it, you have the mother, then you can have like kind of a two animals coming out of that, deriving animal. You know, B1 would be the Tamura, B2 would be the Vlad, and if B1 has a baby, or B2 has a baby, or even grandbabies and great-great-grandbabies, they all have the same status as the original mother, meaning they're all going to be Shlamim. So says the Mishnah, let me read the words carefully now to you again. Elu kachim she vladosein utmurosein kiyotzben. The following list is going to be the list of the korbanos, where their vlados, their offspring, and tumurosehen, their tumuras, will be the same as the kiyotzben, have the same halachic status as the original animal. So first we have the vlad shlamim, the animal that a shlamim gives birth to, utmurasen, and the animal that is substituted for the shlamim, uvladan, and also their offspring, uvlad vladan, and their offspring, meaning the offspring of the offspring, or the offspring of the tamura, at sofa olam, as many generations as you extend it, doesn't matter, hare elu kashlamim, they're all treated like shlamim in essentially every way, and therefore that means that all the vlados, all the tamuros are all offered in mizbeach, and usually a shlamim is done with, you know, one blood application and divided up with the bialim eating most of it, utu'unim smicha, the owner will do smicha, putting his head on the head of hands on the head of the animal, pushing his weight down with all his force for each and every one of those individual shlamim being offered. Unesachem, like every shlam and every ola, there needs to be a nesachem, the wine libation and the meal offering, the supplements with each and every one of these derivative shlam as well. Utenufa v'chaza v'shok. The way we have in our mission here, there's tenufa, there's the waving obligation, which is, in addition to the chazeh v'shok, giving the chazeh is like the chest of the animal, and the shok is the right hind leg. Those are given to the kohen, but the tenufa is referring to the fact that those parts that are given to the kohen are waved with the kohen, along with other fats that go on the mizbeach, as part of this tenufa, separate obligation. So all that is done for each and every one of these karbanos that derive from the original mother shlamim. Just note that the girsa and the gemara itself is not tenufa chazeh v'shok, but rather tenufas chazeh v'shok. So that means it's not about the eating of the chazeh v'shok, just the waving of them. Okay, in any case. Now on that point, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Vlad Shlamim lo Yikrav Shlamim. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. If you have, we're talking about Vlados here, offspring from a Shlamim, they are not offered a Shlamim. They're simply left to graze until they die. So you're not going to bring them. Why not? You're not going to bring the offspring like the mother? Because it's a din derabanan. Rabbi Eliezer is concerned the following. He says, listen, if people essentially can have whole, you know, keep around their Shlamim and let it have babies and more babies and more babies, so essentially people like are going to be, you know, having like this farm of Shlamim, which maybe saves them a lot of money and it's very convenient, but the problem is bad things are going to happen. What's going to happen? Remember, a Shlamim is hektish. If you would slaughter it and eat it, you're over serious isurim of slaughtering kachim and b'chutz, me'ila, if you eat it, even though eating it, you can't work it. This giza nevoda or shearing it's all usher. And therefore he says there's a din derabanan that the shlamim's offspring are forbidden to be used as korbanos. Therefore it nips the issue in the bud. It says, listen, there's no point in keeping this shlam around to have babies, to have like a little, you know, shlamim factory, because we're not going to let you do that. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position. Now you notice he says just by the vlados, but not by the tamuros, because it's not really there's no reason why you can't bring the tamura right away. And certainly it's like a very, it's lo shchiach. It's not a common thing to do tumor in the first place, and there's no gezeirus or bun on lo shchiach on uncommon things. So therefore, there's no isser on the tumura that can't be brought. In fact, it is brought. Okay, fine. Now, the chum omrim yikrav. The chum say no, like the Tanakama. The vlados all the way down are brought just like the tumura is brought, and that's that. There's a question why the Chacham repeating the status, the opinion of the Tana Kama. Let's just leave it for now as is. It's just a repeat. Because now we're going to see that there's another approach in what the Chachamim said. And we'll assume that the Chacham and Tana Kama are the same. Rabbi Shimon says they don't agree like that. That wasn't the discussion. Rabbi Shimon's, let me say it outside first. Rabbi Shimon says, listen, it's true that Rabbi Elazar says we put a dinder abon, a gezera, a kanas, really a penalty. If your shlumim is left lingering around and has babies, those babies can't be with shlumim, so you can't enjoy those, so therefore you won't do it. So he's going to say the Chacham agree with that notion in the abstract. The thing is, you know, accidents happen. You can't necessarily be held accountable for your shlumim having a baby, and we're not going to give you a kanas for that. So the first generation of newborn shlumims, those can be brought. But if you have a second generation, like grandchildren, if you will, those are under the kanas, according to Rabbi Shimon at the Chamhel, because then it's clearly that you're just lingering around and not offering these animals mizbech. It's not an accident that you didn't offer the mother and the child. You're waiting now for grandchildren to be born. Okay? So that's the idea outside. Inside it says as follows. Am Rabbi Shimon lo nechku avlad vlad shlamim. They didn't agree, they didn't disagree regarding the grandchildren, third generation, but Vlad Vlad Tamura, or the grandchildren that happen are born from a Tamura. There says Rabbi Shimon, Shlo Yikrav, everyone agrees there's a rabbinic kanas, a penalty, you may not bring those to shlamim, that will nip this in the butt so no one keeps animals around for generations to produce, you know, have shlamim factories. Va'alma nechlaku, so what did they argue about? Al Havlad, on that first generation, Shrebi Eliezer Omer, Lo Yikrav, he holds already by the first generation as an Issa de Rabban, a Kanas, so you shouldn't keep these animals lying around. V'chacham Omrim Yikrav, the Chacham say no, that first generation, both of the Shlamim itself and also the Tumura Shlamim, could be brought. The Kanas, the Isser, the Rabbinic Isser, and the penalty doesn't kick in until the next generation. Now, hey, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Papias, there was a testimony given by Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias. All these testimonies were given on that famous day when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to be the Nasi in place of Rabban Gamliel. The famous story, which is the content of Maseches Edios. So they have various testimonies of halachas. And here they testified al Vlad Shlamim Sheyikrav Shlamim. They testified on the halacha that in fact the Vlad Shlamim is brought like the Shlamim as the Sheet of the Tana Kama and the Chachamim. You see here that we paskin not like Rabbi Eliezer. You can't see if we paskin like the first version or like the second version, Rabbi Shimon's version regarding the machlokas, because we don't see a third generation. But for the second generation, the halach is clearly, according to them, that you indeed treat the first generation like the parent. Amr Papis, Rabbi Papis says, more than just that's the halacha that we have in Masorah, I actually personally saw this happen. Ani made, I testify, Shahai Salanu Fara, we had a par, we had our own cow, Zivche Shlamim, and the cow was consecrated as a Shlamim. V'achalnua b'Pesach, we ate that cow, the mother, on Pesach. V'achla v'lada Shlamim b'Chag, and we ate its offspring as a Shlamim at the next holiday at the Chag, at the next festival. So we see that you see here that he testified that in fact they did offer and eat both mother and offspring as a Shlamim. Now there's a question here: what's b'Chag? Usually Chag, the festival refers to Sukkos. There's a mitzvah aseh to bring your carbon immediately the next holiday. That lav balt acher, the prohibition, doesn't kick in until three holidays pass, three festivals, three regalim pass. But in any case, so either he means, when he says chag here, he means we're talking about shvuas, the next opportunity, or, you know, they couldn't bring it come shvuas because either the animal was sick or the owner of the animal was sick, and therefore they delayed it until Sukkos to bring it. At all events, this clearly says the halacha is like the Chacham, that there is no kanas in that first generation of offspring from both Shlamim as well as the Tumuras Shlamim.